Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy here.
It is Monday Night Football. It is the Buffalo Bills at 4-1, the Kansas City Chiefs at 4-1. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here on a misty night in Orchard Park.
Yeah, this is a game that's big for both these teams.
Here's the snap. Out of the gun. Mahomes dancing around, fires to Kelce over the middle, driving to the end zone, and he is in. Touchdown, Kansas City. He got behind Tremaine Edmonds and went in for the touchdown. An 11-yard pass from Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce. The snap. Josh Allen, play fake, looks to the end zone, rolling to his right, looks, fires down in the side of the end zone, and it is touchdown! A touchdown pass! Stephon Diggs somehow brought it in. There's the snap. Mahomes going to throw it. Lofts it into the end zone, looking for Kelce. He's got him. Touchdown, Kansas City. Travis Kelce got past Jordan Poyer for the Chiefs' touchdown. It's the snap. Hands it off. It's a first down and more. Headed into the end zone for the touchdown is Darrell Williams. A 13-yard touchdown run off the left guard. Touchdown, Kansas City. The snap. Josh Allen fires a strike. Cole Beasley makes a catch at the two, trying to dive into the end zone. He is in! Touchdown, Buffalo! Cole Beasley fought for those 2 yards that he desperately needed to put the Bills in the end zone. Touchdown, Bill! Josh Allen sets up deep. Has time, fires it down the middle, and it is tipped and intercepted by Sorensen up around the Buffalo 40, and he scoots out of bounds, and that's just about do it. Yeah, they got to look at a lot of things, and you said it, Steve. I mean, defense, obviously, to give up those long scoring drives for Kansas City, but the offense, which is totally ineffective today.
The Bills have got some soul-searching to do,
oh, yeah.
Murph.
That's the Toshiba Game Rewind, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. Welcome in to a Tuesday Game Rewind edition of One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. And you heard Steve say it right at the end of the broadcast. Bills have got some soul searching to do, got some answers to find. And Steve, I thought Coach McDermott painted the picture pretty accurately in his post-game press conference. We often hear him say, Steve, that we try to identify little pebbles of problems so they don't become boulders.
Right.
You know, address them early, get them corrected so they don't become bigger problems. Last night he said, we have some boulders to deal with. Big problems. Now, I don't doubt for a second that he and his staff, along with the players, will get hammering on them to make those boulders smaller. But we're here in week six, and the problems have developed into boulder-sized issues as the head coach himself sees it.
Yeah, there's no question. They had a game plan last night where they were going to try and force the Chiefs to beat them left-handed, invite them to run the football, and then, you know, bear up and get some stops. They couldn't stop them. They couldn't get the ball away from the Chiefs. And then the surprising thing, and this is it, when you're going to beat a team like the Chiefs, who are very good, and it's the same thing last week with the Titans, two very good football teams, and the Bills are going to face a bunch more of them on this schedule, you got to play total football, offense and defense. Last night, and it was said by more people than me, the offense didn't hold their end of it up. They could not stay on the field enough, move the ball effectively enough to give their defense a chance to get the most out of maybe whatever stops they could get, you know, when they got them down to where they had to punt it a couple of times. But the Bills' offense couldn't score enough points. You would have thought coming into that game that the Bills were going to hang at 30. This was going to be a 30-33 game. Both these teams would be in the 30s. Now, the Chiefs scored 26. The Bills couldn't score 20. That's a problem. This is a team, and it's not like last year's team. We all know that. This defense is not playing as well as it did or the same to the same level that it did a year ago. This is going to fall on the offense to overcome deficits like this, to score enough points to put the other team in, under some pressure and do some things differently than they were forced to do yesterday. So I think, you know, this is a team that's got to play well on both sides of the ball, particularly offensively, on a more consistent basis. You kind of got the idea it was might be a long night. That first series when Josh threw two really bad passes to start the game and the third one doinked off John Brown's face mask, it was like, wow, what? You know, this was like they picked up from where they left off in the Titan game a little bit. So, well, yeah, they had some problems yesterday, no question about it, and they didn't – I was more surprised at how the offense didn't play than I was about how the defense
Well, when
did.
You think about the defensive game plan, Steve, which was – let's not have balls flying over our heads so they can hang 40 on us in a quarter and a half, which we've seen the Chiefs do to teams in this league. So they said, look, we're going to keep everything in front of us. We're going to play a good deal of zone defense, force them to earn it all the way down the field, and we're probably going to give up some yards in the run game. But our ultimate goal here is not worrying about how many rushing yards we're giving up or how many passing yards we're giving up or how many third down conversions we're giving up. We just want to hold them under 30. Because if our offense comes to play and we hold the Chiefs under 30 points, we've got a chance to win.
Yeah, you should score that.
The problem with that game plan was the offense didn't show up.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the frustrating part about it, particularly when you see a game like that where the Chiefs kind of roll over it. You would think that at some point, now I know the Chiefs are the defending world champions, so if you force them into their offhand, you know, where they're trying to kind of beat you left-handed with a run game instead of Pat Mahomes throwing it around with all those guys, you know, Tyreek Hill has three catches, the Bills have one turnover at the end of the game, but other than that, they had zero turnovers, they had three penalties all night, you know, so you think, wow, this is, you know, it's kind of the template for it, but at some point, somebody's got to do something against that run game. Just get one tackle.
It was not good.
It was not good. And the Bills' offense could not run the ball at all. And Josh Allen couldn't overcome that in the passing game. And that surprised me a little bit. Josh surprised me a little bit last night. So I was – and it was one of those games where you got deep into that second half. It's like, man, oh, man, this is excruciating to watch. Because you just didn't have an answer. And I think the most disappointing thing, too, was when you got the two personal foul penalties on that last drive that gave you from a six-point game to a nine-point game, and then that was virtually over after that.
803-0550 to get on the line with us to hash this one out. 1-888-550-2550. NFL Research put a stat out on their Twitter handle last night, which was very, very telling with respect to the Chiefs' rushing success. It was the first time that the Chiefs ran for 200 yards or more in a game that Patrick Mahomes started. We all know Andy Reid, over the course of his career, has essentially been this. 60% pass, 40% run. With Patrick Mahomes this year, it's been 60% pass, 40% run. So Andy Reid really hasn't changed, even though he's got one of the best quarterbacks in football under center for him each and every week. Last night in the game, the script completely flipped. They ran 63% of the time and passed 37% of the time. So Andy Reid said, all right, you want me to run the ball? Here we go. And there was no answer. And, you know, I don't want to say this to alarm people, but I was watching that game, and I'm watching the battles at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, Steve, and I was unfortunately reminded of the many games in the 2018 season where the Bills just could not match up at the line of scrimmage and could not win their fair share of the battles. You're not going to win every time in the NFL at the line of scrimmage, but they did not dictate any portion of that game yesterday to the opponent.
Right.
They were reacting to everything that the Chiefs decided they wanted to do in the game. And while, yes, it was a one-score game at the end, did it ever feel like the Bills had any control of that game from start to finish? I always felt like they were trying to play catch-up the whole time, not just in terms of on the scoreboard. And, yes, I know they had a 7-3 lead early on. There were times where I was just sitting there going, man, why does this feel like they're trying to push a boulder up a hill right now?
Right.
Like the whole game, it felt that way.
Yeah, and again, we knew this too. The Chiefs have got it going on in more ways than just Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. Their offensive line was excellent. I think the thing that gets me about and how you know, as bad as that game felt for Bills fans, because I think some of the excitement, some of the bad feelings you get was how excited you were to begin with, and it didn't go that well, and it's really a crusher. It's a belly flop when you come down off that high. But we knew the Bills were up against the world champions. We knew that the Chiefs were coming in. They didn't have Sammy Watkins, but we knew that they had some guys. And we also know, too, that this coaching staff had, particularly the head coach, has a lot of history and knowledge about how Andy Reid thinks. So he went in there and knew Andy Reid had. I've heard Andy Reid said Andy Reid would throw it every time if he could.
Yeah,
that's his thing. So Sean McDermott put him into a spot where he said he wasn't going to throw it as much as he would like to, as much as he would even settle for. And so there was a lot of that going on. In the big picture of things, the Bills said, okay, we're going to make you do something you really don't want to do or don't like to do, and we're going to see if we can shorten this game up and keep this thing in the realm, because we've got an offense we think can light you up, and they couldn't get it done offensively for whatever reason. And that was the missing piece. So when you measure yourself up against the world champions, you come up 9 points short at the end, which really it was a six-point game and late. And you had a chance, but it was a chance that felt like it was never going to come up. You know, it was one of those hopelessly close games.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It was
like it was a 2018 game.
Like a slow death.
Like it was a 2018 game.
Yeah, that's why I was reminded of it. Like, I was looking at all the components that contributed to the loss last night. Josh was inaccurate at times, missed a surefire touchdown to Stephon Diggs by himself in the end zone. He overthrows him.
I thought Diggs should have caught that, and the guy had his arm. He couldn't get two hands.
No, I'm not talking about that one.
Oh, which
running
one?
Free in the scoreboard end zone early in the game. I think it was the third possession, wide open in the back left corner of the end zone, coming across the back of the end zone. Nobody near him, and he just threw it right over his head. I mean, he had all day to catch that ball. Screen pass out in the right flank to Devin Singletary.
Yeah,
if he caught the ball and turned around, there was nobody in front of him for 30 yards. Missed him. First pass of the game.
Right.
He's got Beasley in the flat.
Yeah.
Doesn't hit him. And after the third quarter, Josh was 8-for-20 passing. Now, in fairness to him, there was a drop. There were two throwaways because of pressure. So those are three incompletions right there. But you take those three out, and you're still 8-for-17. And he was just off. And Josh, you know, we've said it. I've said it on this show a lot of times because I get to interview Josh a lot after the games or sit in on the interviews. I get usually ask a question, maybe two. And he is the most self-aware quarterback I have ever been around.
Right.
I mean, you want to talk about a person that recognizes that he has got issues or did not perform up to his level of expectation or his potential, he will say it before anybody else does. And he said it last night. I played poorly. I have to play better. I can't play like that and expect us to win football games. And he's right. You know, he's completing 40% of his passes by the end of the third quarter. And then end of game, there he is at 52%. I mean, that was his completion percentage his rookie year.
Right.
It was a step back. And, hey, look, players have steps back. Now let's see if he can rebound. If he can't, then I think people will start to get a little uneasy about where this season is headed. Because I think everybody knows with the run game in the state that it's currently in, and we'll talk about that later in the show, he's the only thing that looks viable in terms of something you can count on with some measure of consistency based on his performance through the first five games. I'm going to say through the first five games because I don't think he played poorly at Tennessee. I just think he didn't get any help. Four drops in that game, pre-snap penalties out the wazoo. I mean, Josh played pretty well in that game. Yes, he had the two picks, and one, you know.
One was off the
– One was off.
Tipped off the,
both went back for touchdowns. So I understand, you know, the points off turnovers and all of that. I didn't think he played poorly in that game. Last night, even his assessment was he played poorly, and unfortunately, he was correct in that assessment. All right, let's go to the phones, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We lead off with Ken on a cell. Ken, you're on One Bills Live. Thanks for joining us. What do you have? Ken, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
How you doing, guys?
Good. What do you have for us?
Taking my call.
Yeah.
First of all, I'd like to talk about the defense.
Okay. Sure. Yep.
As a Bills fan, I have been a fan since the Jim Kelly era. I have watched this team struggle, and I've watched success. Now, Sean McDermott, I love him. He's an awesome coach. But this defensive coordinator, he is a joke. He does not know what he's doing. He can't – I mean, when you've got two players back-to-back making a 15-yard personal fouls for no reason, and then they come out, they can't stop the run, and as far as Josh Allen goes, you know, I understand the weather had a lot to do with it. I think the weather was a factor in this game. But what I don't understand is this defensive coordinator. Now, the first game against the Titans, they fell flat on their face. And then they come out to this game and they can't stop the run. They're running all over them. And I think they need a change in the defensive coordinator. Now, I don't have you guys on my television, so I would appreciate if I could hear your response over the phone.
Yeah, we can leave you on the line here, Ken. No problem.
Okay. I'm so disgusted with this defensive coordinator. I think he's a terrible coach. And everybody's got to sugarcoat it. I listen to all these reports and all these post-game interviews with all these guys. Oh, we got to do better. And, we had our guys got to step up. That's sugarcoating. Why don't they say it like it is? This defensive coordinator is terrible, man.
Ken, did you know that it's the same defensive coordinator as last year?
Yeah, but the thing is, then what happened? Why are they allowing 200-yard rushing? Why are they allowing the teams to walk down the field and score? I mean, we barely beat the Rams. Barely.
So do you think the defensive coordinator, like, changed philosophies or forgot how to coach? Or, I mean, what's your point?
The point is, I don't think he is stepping up and coaching the defense the way they should be coached. You know yourself, back-to-back 15-yard penalties, which was uncalled for, to throw a guy down out of bounds.
So, yeah. Well, Ken, do you think Leslie Frazier coached Jordan Poyer and told Tre'Davious White to get personal fouls? You think he coached him to do that?
No, but he should have. But they should know better.
Well, I think they do know better, but there are, you know, and I'm not excusing what they did, but I will say that sometimes when you're getting your head handed to you for four quarters and you're near the end of a game that you're not all that optimistic you're going to come out on the right end of, that's when frustrations start to boil over a little bit. Again, I'm not condoning it, I'm not excusing it, but it does happen, especially in a game as emotional as the NFL. I think Tre'Davious White's was kind of innocuous. I think he was just trying to ensure that the guy was out of bounds on his. I did not see Poyer's firsthand. But, you know, does that mean that you have a defensive coordinator that doesn't know how to discipline his players? I would respectfully disagree with that. The second thing I'll say is the problems that this defense has are execution-based, as I see it. You've got defensive linemen who have been coached on fundamentals for the better part of the last 4 weeks by their coaching staff, and they still cannot get off blocks. Now, could part of that be rooted in the fact that that referees are not calling holding as much and they're probably being held more often than they have in the past? Yeah, I think that could be part of it, but the alarming thing to me is they cannot shed blocks right now and get in their gaps to stop ball carriers before they're through the line of scrimmage. And now they're into the second level at speed, which makes the task more difficult for everyone at the second level because they got a freight train coming at them and they got to make a decision. Am I going to plant and guess that he's headed this way and try to lower my shoulder? Or am I going to have to, you know, shuffle until I exactly know where he's going and give up five more yards in the process just to ensure that I get him down? These are the things that they're facing right now. And it's unfortunately become systemic. It's not like you've got a single weak link, as I see it, up front. This is a systemic issue that has to be nipped in the bud. And I'll give Jerry Hughes some credit on this, and we'll get to some of his comments in the next segment here. But after the game, Jerry acknowledged all the problems that have befallen this defense. And he said after the game, he already contacted all of the defensive linemen and told them, we're coming into work early tomorrow. We're going to review the film before we even have to meet with our coaches in the morning because we're going to get to the bottom of what the heck's going on here because we have to get this fixed. So they're ringing the alarm bells.
I do think it's also telling that Trent Murphy and Harrison Phillips were deactivated for this game, Ken.
Healthy scratches.
They were healthy scratches, and they brought two other guys up. So they're starting to stir the pot, and I think, you know, your action, you can say, and of course we're going to get, you know, the company line, and we're going to, you know, McDermott and Leslie Frazier, and nobody's going to throw these players under the bus, you know, but their actions will tell you where they think some problems are. And I think activating Justin Zimmer and Brian Cox Jr. off the practice squad and putting them in the game, giving them snaps yesterday, says a little bit about where they think the problem is coming from. So there's that as well.
It's a wake-up call.
You're not the only one who sees problems with the defense, Ken. I mean, I think the coaching staff and what they've said and what they have done with their roster says that they see some problems as well.
All right, so thanks very much for the call. We move along here, and we go to Charlie in North Buffalo. Charlie, thanks for joining us. You're on One Bills Live.
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Good. What do you have for us?
Well, I think the Bills quit completely on their coaching staff the last two games. They look like they totally quit. I mean, they weren't making tackles. They were avoiding tackles. It was ridiculous.
I don't know how you can say they were avoiding tackles. I don't know your background, Charlie. Maybe you were a football coach. Maybe you have access to all 22 film, and you can assess that from your perch on your couch watching the game or whatever. But I can't imagine. And here's why I'm going to tell you that I don't believe they're avoiding tackles, okay? As we all know, the film doesn't lie, okay? If you're avoiding tackles as a defender in this league, you're not going to be in this league very long because coaches are depending on you to perform. And if you don't perform, coaches are going to take you off the field. So to say they're avoiding tackles, I think is a little strong and probably misguided. You don't play in this league very long and collect a paycheck if you're avoiding tackles as a defender in this league. It just doesn't happen. So that's number one. Number two, they're not performing. I think we can all agree on that. The execution is flawed. It's not consistent. It doesn't mean that guys aren't hustling. It doesn't mean that guys aren't trying. It just hasn't been good enough. And it's an execution problem. And so how they fix it is up to them and their coaches. And I'm confident they'll get to work on doing that, but they just didn't have any answers last night, and it's frustrating to watch. I'm not going to deny it for a second. It is frustrating to watch, especially when you had become accustomed to seeing a defense that was top five caliber the last 2 years.
Yeah, I don't think this is a team that is going to quit on Sean McDermott or Leslie Frazier. I think they have a lot of love and respect for those guys, and they want to play hard for them. I do think they're struggling at the point of attack, maybe on both sides of the ball. But, I don't think this
we're
is
terrible.
I don't think this is a team.
They've missed tackles. Don't get me wrong on that.
I don't think this is a team that's quit on the coaching staff or that they've lost this, like, you know, we've heard about or seen other teams and coaches get in that situation. But there's no question – something's happened to this team the last 2 weeks. And I think last week in Tennessee, I'm really hesitant to say anything definitive about this team after last week and what was leading up to it and all of that. I don't know if that game can even be put in the context of the entire season, the way it happened, the way they found out about it, the way it was on, off again. Were they getting ready to play the Titans or were they not? Was it going to happen? Was it not? Or that was somebody come down with virus or were they not? That game had so many distractions and problems getting played I don't even know if you can make an assessment about where the team was mentally and be accurate about how it in a big picture. So, but this game yesterday against the Chiefs, it was a tough game plan to execute, and the Bills couldn't get it done against a really good football team. And the offense, and I thought it was as much about the offense as it was about the defense not stopping the run. I really do. And it never got to the point where the Bills could put up enough points to make the Chiefs think, hey, we got to stay in this now. We're not going to just let this game, this run game go. It never got to that point. And I put that on the Bills offense as much as I do the defense.
And the big stat that points that out, and Charlie, thanks for the call. The big stat that points that out is the time of possession in the second half. The Chiefs had the ball over 23 minutes of the second half. The Bills had the ball for 6.5 minutes of the second half. And you say, that's because the defense couldn't get off the field. While that may be true, the offense had some chances to stay on the field.
They couldn't stay on the field.
And could not.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword there. But the Chiefs had possession in the second half for over 23 minutes. That's longer than the possession time for the Bills in the entire game.
Right.
I mean, just think about that for a second. The Chiefs had the ball in quarters 3 and 4 for a longer period of time than the Bills had it in the entire football game. The fact that they only lost by 9 is almost impressive when you think about how little of the ball they had.
Yeah, the Bills had no way, particularly because the Bills could not run the football effectively enough, so they couldn't
run off the clock.
They couldn't, you know. And, you know, the only thing they had was Josh dropping back or maybe even some called quarterback runs that they ran a little bit more yesterday than they have in the previous week. So, yeah, the Bills had issues on both sides of the ball, and both of them contributed to this game feeling like it was completely out of control, and even though it was only a 6-point deficit for deep into the fourth quarter. That's the weirdest thing about this, and you kind of get – you know, where McDermott was coming from by making the Chiefs grind it out and take the long road around, which, you know, they couldn't score enough points to put it out of reach. And you'd think with your offense, you'd have a chance to strike back at them.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get it done. And the offense couldn't run the ball and the defense couldn't stop the run. And that's an old adage that still holds water. But in this case, both aspects went against the Bills, and
yeah.
The time of possession is the first place that's going to show.
Right. We do have to take a break here, but for those of you on hold, hang on. We'll get to you in the next segment. We're also asking you on our Twitter poll, what do you need to see from the Bills following last night's loss to the Chiefs? Is it A, offensive production from the first 4 weeks, B, a defensive identity, C, a roster move, or D, something else? Hit us up on the tweet sheet at @OneBillsLive or give us a call and let us know what you would choose there as we're looking on the early returns. And defensive identity is leading the way right now ahead of the offensive production of the first 4 weeks, which is currently in second place with a few hundred votes in already. So we will step aside. About a half hour's time, we'll talk to Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football. And in a couple of hours, we'll have Eric Wood on to give us his thoughts on last night's contest and where the Bills go from here. It's all coming your way next, but your phone calls are on tab when we return from the break here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you on a Game Rewind Tuesday. Time now, though, for New York Lottery's Inside the Numbers. Take a break from the expected. Play scratch-off games from the New York Lottery. Mario Addison had the Bills' lone sack of the game against the Chiefs last night. Addison now has 58 career sacks, three of those coming with the Bills here in his first season with the club. Patrick Mahomes became the 30th different quarterback to be sacked by Addison. That's your New York Lottery Inside the Numbers. And speaking of numbers, Steve, there's another set of numbers I wanted to run past you. I came across this during my Inside the Numbers column that I put up on BuffaloBills.com the day after every game. Just some enlightening numbers, some trending numbers, and there was a trending number that caught my eye. And our graphics artist extraordinaire, Tom Hollander, put this together for us. Yeah. This is the completion percentage against, Steve, each week of the season for the Bills' defense. And as you'll see in the far right column, our MSG viewers are looking at this now, the opposing quarterback's completion percentage with each successive week this season has increased. It started with Darnold in week one at 60%, then went up to 66% with Fitzpatrick, 71.9% with Goff, 72.7% with Carr, 75% with Tannehill, and almost 81% last night from Mahomes. That is, you know, troubling.
If you ranked in reverse order, best to worst, and if it was in reverse order and the worst guy was at the top and the best guy was at the bottom, that would be the list right there.
It could be. Could be.
Darnold would be the guy.
I might
at the
put
bottom.
Goff a little higher.
I don't know if you'd put him above Fitzpatrick. Darnold, Fitzpatrick, Goff, Carr, Tannehill, Mahomes.
So that, Mahomes is the top of my list.
You could make an argument that that is them ranked from worst to first.
Yeah, I would probably put Goff higher than Carr. That's just me.
I don't know. But those are the two middle guys.
I know
guys,
what you're saying.
Right? Flip it around.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But you're right.
That's
troubling. But at the end of that, you're right. The four guys at the end of that, Goff, Carr, Tannehill, and Mahomes are part of four pretty good teams.
Now, the game plan had something to do with Mahomes' high completion percentage last night, too. I mean, they were playing a lot of zone, keeping a lot of stuff in front of them, so they were less concerned about allowing completions and more concerned about getting beat deep. So that lends usually to a higher completion percentage for the opposing quarterback. But, Steve, Mahomes threw the ball 26 times, which is a low number for him. Mm-hmm. How many pass breakups do you think the Bills had last night?
I don't know.
One.
Well, there you go.
One pass breakup. This is a team that ranked third in the league against the pass last year. A lot of hands in the passing lanes, batted passes at the line, pass breakups by defensive backs. I mean, Tre'Davious White had 17 pass breakups by himself last season. This team had one yesterday against the Chiefs. Against Ryan Tannehill and the Titans last week, albeit without Tre'Davious White, and Tannehill threw it all over the yard last week, they had three pass breakups. So I know that there were a lot of Bills fans that were irate last night, and I was getting a lot of these tweets. This is the wording of the tweets that I would get last night during the game. Somebody please make a play.
Oh, yeah.
That was the general consensus of the tweets that I was getting directed at me from Bills fans, because they're probably all sitting on their couches watching this defense saying, somebody, please make a play.
Yeah, I said this in one of the things one of my keys to the game for the defense of the Bills. You knew that the Chiefs would come out and have some success. I mean, they're that good. You knew they were going to come out and make some plays. They were going to score some points, and we thought they'd score 30 points. We thought this was going to be a shootout. So there's no reason to think there wasn't going to be some offensive success with Pat Mahomes and these guys coming into town and throwing the football around. And I thought the defensive, the way you play defense against them is just that. At some point along the line on a third down, or maybe a couple of times, maybe on maybe on a consistent basis, just make one play on a third down or one play on a tipped pass or an interception or a pass breakup at a crucial moment. Just make a play against these guys and give your offense that one more
possession,
right? So that's kind of what I was hoping for from the very beginning. You knew Kansas City was going to look good at times. In fact, look great at times. But you thought at some point maybe your defense would rise up and make one play against them to get them off the field or get a turnover in their end or something like that, that would give you a chance to get on top of them on the scoreboard. And I thought that's how you kind of got to approach this game. Yeah, they're going to have some success, but at some point you're going to get an opportunity. You got to take advantage of it. Don't let Mahomes get out of the pocket. Sack him once. Get him on the ground or get the ball out, something like that. Somebody would make a play like that, and that would be like enough of a difference in the game that you could win it. In a six-point game like it was late, that's like, oh, it could happen now, right?
Yeah.
Just make one play. And it just never happened. It just never happened. Mahomes and company were too close to the vest, and they weren't pressed to make a play.
No. Let's go back to the phones at 803-0550 to Mark in Lockport, who's been waiting patiently. Mark, thanks for joining us. What do you have for us?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I happen to agree with what you had said before regarding both sides of the ball on the line side of it.
Yeah.
It just seems like it has an eerie feeling, like you said back in 2018, where the physical teams seem to kind of control the Bills on both sides of the ball. It's kind of, I don't know what it is, but I think it starts there on the defense. And like last night, they're getting 7-8 yards right off the first carry, and it's pushing back into the linebackers. Then it's pushing back into the DBs, and it's a very big concern that I have with the team on both sides of the ball. The other comment I wanted to make, nothing's been mentioned, but I'm a little concerned about Bass, the field goal kicker.
Okay.
Steve, I know you probably have a lot more to say about this, but I'm just kind of concerned if the game is ever on the line that this kid's going to come through and kick a 50-yarder instead of being wide right. And then the last comment I want to make, I don't know if you guys noticed, but when we were in hurry up the last part of the game, Stephon Diggs was kind of lackadaisical, for a better word, and it cost him a penalty. I realized the game was almost out of hand at that point, but
yeah,
never mail it in. And that's the kind of feeling I got at the very end of the game there. So
yeah, that was disappointing to see that, to see him not be able to get set before the ball was snapped. He looked like he was going to get back, and in actuality, he should have gotten back, but he didn't. And that's troubling. I've been there. I know how hard that is sometimes to do, but he it doesn't look like he was hustling, but I'm telling you, if the route he ran and coming back and Josh has got to be a little bit more aware too. Just wait a half a tick.
Half a beat, yeah.
And then snap it, not even a second, just like a quarter of a second. And Josh wasn't aware enough to do that.
About Bass? 52-yarder last night.
You want to see him hit that. You want to see him hit that. And let me tell you, that kick wasn't even close. It was way wide.
Yeah.
It almost missed the net. That's not good enough. When you give a kid, when you give a guy a chance like that in a game like that to go in at half.
You got the turnover, you know.
They would have been 13-13 at the half. And yeah, you got to make that.
It was good execution, cuz Josh Norman gets the takeaway. And then Stephon Diggs pushes it as far as he can, gets out of bounds with 1 second left.
That's perfect.
To set up the kick. And here you are to add an extra 3 points on the board, tie the game.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
And it's just like,
And I'll say this, outside of that, which counts, no question, and it counts big, the special teams played extremely well last night. They played extremely well. Except for Bass missing that 52-yarder to go in. Yeah. And I get it. It's in a rainstorm.
Harrison Butker missed an extra point, his fourth missed PAT of the season. And we know the caliber of kicker he is.
It was a rainstorm. The wind was whipping, whatever. You hit it.
Got to make it.
You hit it. You go in 13-13 against the world champions, and maybe you feel a little bit differently about yourself, particularly the way that half ended with a flurry of getting the turnover, making that play that you mentioned, and just working it exactly right, everybody's setting it up, and then you go out there and you can't take advantage of it. That's a crusher.
Yeah.
But they were still, it's 13-10.
Yeah.
The game's not over.
It's not 23-0.
Right.
Let's go back to the phones to Bob on a cell. Bob, thanks for joining us. You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I want to give, not that my vote counts or anybody's vote counts, but I kind of like Leslie Frazier as our defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to lose him. If you'd have told me at the beginning of the game last night that we were going to give the Chiefs 13 points in the first half and 13 points in the second half, I just said, oh, yeah, that's great. Let's go for it. You know, let's put it up against that. So, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, the defense gave up a lot of yardage, but they didn't give up the points, which leads me to a question. Are the defenses starting to catch up to the offenses in the NFL, for the season?
Yeah, scoring was down this past week. I think there were 9 teams that didn't get more than 23 points this past week.
There was a lot. I mean, like the Panthers scored 16. The Jaguars scored 16.
And you guys can answer this because, you know, I'm used to being at the games and watching it live, and I can focus on the trenches. But when you're forced to watch what the TV
presents, yeah, I know.
it seems to me like the running backs are hitting the wazoos of our linemen instead of, you know, if they were a foot to the left or 2 feet to the right, it looked like there might be holes there.
Well, I think the problem, at least from my vantage point, and we thank you for the call, Bob, from my vantage point, and it's easier to see this at the games, you're 100% correct, because having to watch the road games on TV, which I don't normally do, but, you know, with COVID keeping me from traveling and a lot of other people, it makes it harder for us. I think there is too often penetration by the opposing defense on run plays. And that is something that I wanted to investigate a little bit more and dive into. And I did find out that to this point this season, the Bills' running game has acquired 41% of their rushing yards before contact, 59% of their rushing yards after initial contact. To me, that says that it reinforces what I think I am seeing. There is too much penetration from opposing defenses at the line of scrimmage, and it's compromising the design of the run play. And then it forces the running back to ad lib, to improvise, to try to make something out of nothing. You can count every week the times when Devin Singletary has to avoid somebody and make somebody miss in the backfield, not at the line of scrimmage. And because of that, it compromises the effectiveness of your running game, the design of your run plays. They're getting beat at the line of scrimmage, and the running back's production is taking the hit because of it. I mean, you want to get your guy through the line of scrimmage. Now go make the guy at the second level miss. You know, that's your job. And we said it last week, Steve. The Bills were set going against a bunch of 7-man boxes. The Titans were genuinely respecting Buffalo's deep passing attack and said, here, see if you can run against us in a 7-man box. And they couldn't do it.
That's right.
So it's two straight weeks. They've really been beat at the line of scrimmage on offense in the run game.
Yeah, you've got to try and win the line of scrimmage in a bigger sense on more often, more occasions. And I think we've seen them shuffle the offensive line up front. Quentin Spain's no longer on the field. Of course, he's got an injury as well. Cody Ford has moved from right tackle to right guard to left guard. You've plugged in Brian Winters at right guard. Darrell Williams is new. And of course, Mitch Morrison and Deion Dawkins. But you've seen some shuffling in the guard spots and also on the defensive line. We talked about it, the fact that Trent Murphy and Harrison Phillips were deactivated for this game. That says something about what they're looking for up front and maybe, you know, wanting to get some change. Both guys were healthy. So there are the coaching staff's actions. No matter what they tell you in the press, and, you know, they do what they got to do when they answer questions, their actions speak louder than that. And they're looking for some answers, just like Bills fans are wondering what's going on.
All right, we have to take a break, but more of your phone calls when we return. So stick right there. If you're waiting on hold, we'll try to get to you as quick as we can here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage
to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Zone rolling to his right, looks, looks, fires down in the side of the end zone, and it is touchdown! A touchdown pass! Stephon Diggs somehow brought it in.
That is your Hunt Red Zone play of the week. Visit huntrealestate.com to score on all your real estate needs. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you as we are closing out hour number one of the show. We want to get back to your phone calls at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We lead off with Clarence in Buffalo. Clarence, what do you have for us, sir? Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good.
Good. Two things that I want to speak about. And the first one is about our defense, and I understand that, you know, that things have to be fixed. But one of the things I'm talking about is we don't seem to make changes in our defensive backfield in certain situations. Our safeties, I really believe this, and I've been saying this for more than 1 year, that they just play too deep, especially in third down situations where it's third and 10, third and 12, you know, we're 15, 20 yards deep. I know we're going to get beat sometime, but in situations something like that, we have to have someone there to break up these passes that are going across the middle, and they catch the ball 7 yards deep, and they run for 15. It happened last year in the playoffs. That's how we lost the playoff game, because our safeties were so deep, third and 20, and they get 22 yards. And the same thing happened last week. So what I'm saying is that they need to make some changes there. The other thing that I wanted to ask you about was in free agency. Okay, when we bring in free agents, I wish we would get away from this Carolina syndrome that we have, because if they didn't come from Carolina, they were associated with Carolina. And we have no one on our defensive line that anybody that basically respects. Do we have 10 sacks yet? Yeah, I don't know, but the point is, these are some changes that we have to make, and they have to do it here. And that's why I feel our linebackers are not being able to make the plays they made last year. Okay, that's my thought, and thanks a lot, gentlemen. I'll listen to you now.
Thanks, Clarence. Thanks. I'll say this. Well, first of all, so Clarence knows, they do have 11 sacks on the year. They had one last night. That was Mario Addison, who leads the team with three. He is the only player on the team with more than one sack on the season. The Carolina syndrome, I understand where you're coming from. I think they feel more comfortable in bringing in players that they know inside and out. And obviously there's a connection there because they've been around a lot of those players on a day-in, day-out basis. So there's a level of comfort that they truly know what they're getting. Now, that's not to say they don't do their homework on other players to the same degree. As a matter of fact, they probably do even more homework on a player like Quentin Jefferson, for example. Now, Dan Morgan probably knows him. He's in the pro personnel department for the Bills and worked with the Seattle franchise before he came to Buffalo. So he probably knew Quentin Jefferson pretty intimately in terms of the type of player and character he has. the bottom line is nobody's making plays, and we see the results of that. And Steve, why don't you take the secondary question? He thinks that the safeties are playing too deep. That was a product of the game plan last night more than anything else.
It was, and it is every time, and particularly when he says, like, in third and long, these guys are playing too deep. Well, the thought is, and it's you see it league-wide. I know it seems like they do it all the time. They do it all, well, in certain situations, they do play very deep because they don't care if the quarterback completes a five-yard pass on a third and 13. They're going to come up and make the tackle short of the first down. They're going to force a punt. They invite the quarterback or to throw a short completion on third and very long or third and longer than they're allowing the completion to go, and then they come up and they make the tackle. Now, you can say what you want about making the tackle and they let it go, but the safety, and you can say you want to be more aggressive in those situations. You can be more aggressive when you become a defensive coordinator. And NFL coordinators, they want to do something that makes that offense predictable, and that's give them a short pass, force them to run with it after the catch and try and get a first down, trust that you're going to tackle them short and get them out. I know you say the safeties for the Bills played too deep all the time. It's not all the time. There are certain situations they do, and sometimes it doesn't work out. But it's by game plan, and it's also by mostly not even by game plan, it's by down and distance. And it's a philosophy that it's not just a Bills philosophy, it's a football philosophy, and you see it a lot. So I don't, particularly when you're talking about the secondary, certain teams will play a lot of this, a certain coverage, a lot of that certain coverage, but they do play just about everything that's on the menu. Everybody does. They have to have that in their toolbox. So they don't play the same thing all the time. They do with what they do what they're good at, and they do it in certain situations. But to say they always do this or always do that, it's a little bit overstated, but I get your point, but I hope I explained it. They, on a third and long, they're not going to come after and squat on routes and jump routes and jump slant routes or anything like that because they don't care if they have a short completion. What they care about is they have a completion that turns into a long completion or a long completion. They don't want to give up the first down. So, yeah, they do play deep on a number of occasions, particularly on third and long. But that's not an all-the-time thing.
Right. We have to take a break. When we return, we will have Kyle Brandt. He'll be on with us in about 5 minutes' time. But we have to step aside now, and then we'll take more of your phone calls thereafter. It's all coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.